From the American College of Financial Services, it's time for Next Gen in 10. For the next 10 minutes, join our host, Alana Phillips, as she speaks with industry leaders and insightful guests about topics relevant to up-and-coming financial professionals.
Hey, Next Gen, it's Alana Phillips here again with Dr. Travis Perry. He is the founder of the Make Time Institute and the podcast host of the Balance Advisor podcast. Thanks for chatting with us, Travis.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure thus far.
Yeah, I'm having fun. We've got lots of quizzes and resources for our listeners in your previous episodes. And I'm excited. This is entirely selfish, this next episode, that I want some advice as we talk about balance and the time management piece of it. So,
welcome to my office, Alana. Sit down and relax. Here we go.
I've got some things to tell you. So, it's 2022. We've had a couple of years. There was a point in time where many of us were locked down, Travis. And I will tell you, during lockdown, I felt like I was so balanced. I was like sleeping. I worked out every day. I was reading. I was making time to talk to family over Zoom. There was work, obviously. I mean, there was negative stuff about this, obviously, but the balance was there. Now we're coming out of, last year, I think travel started coming back. I am full force traveling. I've been on 20 planes this year, Travis, and that balance starts to disappear as we're coming back into whatever, new normal life that we have. How has your perspective of balance changed coming out of pandemic? And what can we do to get back to balance?
So, a little bit about me. When 2008, 2009 happened, like that was such a blur. Like advisors talk about two things in our interviews. They talk about 2008, they talk about the Great Recession, and they talk about the pandemic. And when we ask them about their balance, it's really interesting because my balance went out the window with the recession. Like it was just, my balance was, how can I hold on to my business? How can I keep my house? Those were the two top things. And I just about, if I didn't already burn out, I just about did. And it was really a struggle. Here I am teaching these principles, learning these principles, but it's, we weren't prepared and most people weren't. Fast forward, we get to the pandemic. I've seen the Great Recession. I've been through it. I didn't want it again. And I really struggled personally going, how do I get this message out there now that all stages are closed? That was my number one way to reach advisors. Number one. And I realized I wasn't diversifying my marketing. I wasn't diversifying my abilities. So I set off to write this book during the pandemic. March 24th, 2020. When my town officially, San Marcos, Texas, officially closed down, whatever that was, I announced on social media that I was writing this book. Michael Kitsis and others and started paying attention. Alana, we got in touch during that year. Like there, a lot of things happened because people were really struggling. And you know what? I find a lot of advisors had told me exactly what you said. My balance is great now that I don't have a commute, that I don't have to travel to conferences, that I can sit in my pajamas and do this. And I connected with the guy, Derek Knottman. Derek Knottman.
You know Derek. Yeah, he's awesome. Yes.
So he wrote the foreword on the next, basically the updated edition of my book. I got him to write the forward because the guy is living balance. If you're not connected with him, connect with Derek. He's awesome. And I had him write the forward because he's living what I, prescribing to advisors right now. Like he's in his short and t-shirt. Last time we got on, like we were in hats and t-shirts, just hanging out, just talking about life and how we can do some fun stuff in the future together, which I won't spoil. It's coming soon, but we've got some great ideas to help advisors to be balanced.
Yeah. Well, and he was a virtual financial advisor before the pandemic.
Before it was
right?
Cool.
Like people knew that. Yeah. Exactly. About him. And they were like, oh, weird. And now they were all like, oh, wait a minute. We need to understand how to do this from here.
Yeah. It went from weird to we are not worthy, like in a matter of moments. But so Derek and I have that in common where I was doing virtual stuff since 2006. I wish I had bought something in Zoom, but that's a different story. we all do. this point, but the reality is we were already trying to live that lifestyle, and I wasn't going to let this be a problem. I encourage advisors to be virtual, and yes, you know, go to those conferences, go to those things, but really be selective. I just told, you know, Alana in the pre-show, like I literally just had to say no to a speaking training for this year. I've got speeches. I've got, people are asking me to keynote. I'm going, you know what? I have to balance my travel away from my family versus me being on stage and getting new clients, right? And helping to move the needle for the business, but also to reach those advisors who, you know, who are wanting to go back. So I get it, but you have to look at the overall calendar and ask yourself in your own time management, your own priorities, your own values, you know, how much of this do I sacrifice? What of this do I continue to do? And, you know, so what I did is I said, all right, this quarter, this last quarter, this fall, I have too many conferences I'm attending or planning to attend. So I'm going to do this training in the spring. I can always push it back, push it off, and really keep those boundaries. So what we've learned through this pandemic, through the shutdown, is guess what? We can still operate, which means if we get caught sliding back into this workaholic trap, it's our own fault. It really is. And we can do things just as good, if not better, than before the pandemic even started.
Sure. Are you finding as you work with advisors, you know, now versus 2020 versus before that, that they are upholding those boundaries better than those that have not had this more formal process of working with you? Like you can see that difference, or are they still struggling? Like apparently I am with how to come into this new version of our life.
If their boundaries are solid, and if they have I think the factor isn't me, it's really them. If their boundaries are solid, and if they have a great connection with their family and spouse, if those are there, regardless of what changes in the industry, changes in the economy, they will stay solid. Because tomorrow, you know, I mean, this last week wasn't that great for the market. I hear so many advisors, oh, this week was horrible because of the market, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, guys, we get it, but you're training your clients like how to deal with this, but you're literally allowing it to affect you in this negative form. Like, what else is going to come? Well, to me, it's not if, it's when. When is the next thing going to strike? If you're not in a virtual situation, or at least don't have that capability, you ought to be. It's just like telling your clients you're investing, but you don't have an emergency fund. What? Are you crazy? Like, you can't do this. It's not sound. I think that's a very similar analogy. It might not be perfect, but are we, you know, maybe diversifying not enough, like with our marketing? So I will tell you this. One thing that advisors struggle with is their marketing. Like, we could have done a whole thing on marketing. My life changed with the book. When I became a thought leader and said, all right, I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to stand on my soapbox about balance, and I'm going to preach this to the world. I became the guy for financial advisors on balance. That's it. I could have tackled the whole world and said, all right, world, we need to get our balance in shape. My voice is so small, but coming to this industry and really niching to, you know, independent financial advisors, growing their businesses, I really am able to speak their language and give them content that they can take and find useful. That doesn't mean then afterwards I can't grow or expand or do other things. But as an advisor, you ought to be asking yourself, especially, you know, next gen, you know, new advisors, who am I niching to? Who am I becoming a thought leader to? And use virtual, online, LinkedIn, especially. Use these channels to reach the audience, because that will allow you, no matter if you can attend a conference or not, to continue the conversation. So our business has grown, has tripled every year from the pandemic. I'm actually really grateful. We've lost loved ones. There's been crazy changes. I've moved. We've had a baby. and we've bought a very expensive vehicle all during this time. So I get it. Like, people have been through life changes during the pandemic. I feel you. But at the same time, I think with great change comes the opportunity to better ourselves, better our families, and really reach more. And I have had an enormous activity here in reaching advisors. It's just been fantastic to be on podcasts like these, interviews. And eventually I'm getting back to those stages. They're opening back up this fall and next spring, and I'm excited. Yet at the same time, I'm remembering now, Alana, that I need to keep that in balance so it doesn't get me off track. Now, one other thing I'll add is when I do travel, I like to take either my spouse, one of my children, or the whole family if we can, so that I can keep them close. That's part of what we do. So sometimes we turn into road trips. Sometimes it's a family vacation. I get to ride the whole thing off, right? Yay. Spend a day speaking and another week traveling around Europe. I'm fine with that. We did that once. And those things are a great way to maybe balance it a little bit more.
Yeah, that's a great tip. I got to figure out if I can take my dogs to the next.
Do it. You need to talk to Brooklyn Brock about that. She has Theo Thursday. She's an advisor to advisors, one of our partner coaches and planners on our Make Time team. She always loves to take her Theo everywhere. So she's the expert in that area.
Okay. I'll have to reach out to Brooklyn, it sounds like, then. Thanks for that, Travis. I'm going to pause us there and we'll be back in just a minute.
Deliver financial planning for every person and every need through our Chartered Financial Consultant Education Program. Find the tools and skills you need at theamericancollege.edu/CHFC.
Get a must-have mark of excellence with a program whose students pass their exams at rates well above the national average. Set yourself up for success in the rest of your career with our CFP Certification Education Program. Learn more at theamericancollege.edu/CFP.
Okay, Travis, let's pick up where we left off. So as we're coming back, you know, sort of new normal life, I don't even know what we call it anymore. I feel like we've had terrible names that we've come up with for this. Well, one, everybody's written a book or had a baby from the pandemic. So obviously it's been a very productive time. I love travel's coming back, blah, blah, blah. We're back in the office, whatever your new normal is. Do we need to reassess our values, Travis?
I think you do this. What I teach my clients is you pay attention to your values because those are long-term, right? Can they change? Of course, we change. So I suggest every year, while everybody else is setting New Year's resolutions, I'm going to do this in 90 days. I'm going to do this in 3 months. Reassess your values, your long-term values. Reconnect with those. Every week, I look at my values. I reassess my goals for the week. Every month, I do the exact same thing. I know what my values are. If you don't know what your direction is, then you're just reacting to everything else going on around you. And there'll always be a disaster. There will always be a pandemic in our lives if we allow it. But if we stay focused on those values, daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, lifelong, you will become the person that you need to be, that you want to be, that God wants you to be, because you're focused. And that for me is how you get rid of the chaos in your life. That is how you can overcome the industry pressures to, become a workaholic and work for the man, you know, all those things that we've been talking about, and truly live your life on purpose.
I love it. Are we seeing any change in that workaholic thing because of the pandemic? Like that there's been a readjustment as you're talking to, I know you work with a lot of the more senior folks in our industry. Is that changing? Has that been helpful?
Great question. I think yes, there has been a change, but it's taken a pandemic to do it, right? XYPN, their whole conference this fall is going to be all about balance. And I'm hoping to see everybody there. You know, I'm also hearing it in so many other ways, like burnout. I mentioned all the time in different, spheres of the work that we've been doing. And so I think, yes, we're making a dent. But I also know that there's tens of thousands of advisors. And so what I'm hopeful to do is sort of like a top-down approach to the culture of this industry to reach advisors who are starting these boutique firms or, you know, their own RIAs so that they can have a balanced culture and have, be a balanced leader. Because if they can be leading the charge, that's how the culture of this industry will change. And the next gen is coming in who wants that, is going to expect that, and they're going to find jobs with great balance. It's just what's going to happen. So if you're a leader out there and you're thinking this is just baloney, you know, think again, because I know for a fact that these next gen advisors, new advisors want that and almost demand that of their new positions.
Completely. Yeah. I'm actually taking a talk out that I've started, Travis, to the stages of how to attract next gen advisors. And I don't use the word balance, but flexibility, and balance certainly falls into that category when we talk about what that means for our next gen folks. So I guess, Travis, you know, from your perspective, because I definitely hear the next gen voice and speak the next gen voice, can our next gen audience take some of these tools to their teams that have not established that balanced culture? Can they use these as tools with their senior advisor?
Yeah, I think the best way to do that is to be the example.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, I mean, when I was starting in 2003 at Northwestern, it was like, this is what we expect of you. This is what we want you to do. We want you to work nights and weekends and da da. And I said, nope. I'm not doing that. And they're like, well, you have to. I'm like,
Branham says you have to, Travis.
Yeah. Like, Branham, you've got the card system. You've got to do this. And I'm like, well, that's just not what I do. So I started pushing up against the culture from the very beginning. And what I did is I outperformed my peers. I was like, you're going to tell me what to do with my schedule now? Or are you okay, you know, that I perform? And once you perform, like any life insurance company, they shut up. And they stopped harping. Instead, they started asking me like, well, how are you doing this? Mm-hmm. How are you doing this without working nights and weekends? And I'm like, I'm working with really good clients. I've established a niche. I outsource, you know, I build a team, like all these things that I've been learning, you know, in school and with, you know, basically some of the help of, the, you know, the great industry leaders here, like I've been mimicking this and trying to better it. And, you know, once you kind of outgrow that situation, which I did, then I wanted to do it on my own, as we've talked about at the beginning. But I would say, yes, you have the power by, it's that whole be the change you want to see in the world approach, that is exactly what we can be doing, is we can be that change and push back against the industry culture that is toxic.
I love it. Yeah. And I think having some of the tools that you've shared with our audience here to be able to do that gives them that sort of confidence, authority, right? They can borrow your experience and your knowledge and take that to their senior advisors.
Which and have really them cool. Give them a copy of my book. Here you go. Like, this is a gift for you. I thought of you when I read this.
Passive aggressive.
Passive aggressive. But it's so funny. Here, you ought to take the quiz.
That'll totally work. I agree. But I mean, and again, Travis, I think the other thing I hear from your story that's so important for our audience is, you know, they're starting in some of these places where that workaholic culture is part of it. And they work nights and weekends and make 300 cold calls and, you know, sell life insurance to their friends and family. They hear me talk about this all the time. And that leads to burnout. And then people don't stay in the industry. And that's part of why we have this podcast, is to say, you don't have to do that. One, you can continue to be an advisor and be a balanced advisor. And two, I mean, if they have a path more like yours, where they realize, you know, maybe that advisor route is not the thing, they're doing something that's different or interesting, or they see a niche to serve advisors, like, what an incredible value, Travis, you've brought to the industry to be able to help change that culture, right? So there's so much more, I think, that, you know, folks that start as advisors can do in this industry if they decide that ultimately that's not the right place for them.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, that's the whole design. The whole design is to really shake it all up. And, you know, because of my experience, I want to give to this next generation a better culture in this industry and a better place to work. Because that really what came down for me as I was starting my own, and I had a coach who said, you know what, you can either be a really great advisor to several hundred or you have the potential to be an incredible leader in this industry and help thousands of other advisors. And I was like, that's what I want to do. She's mm-hmm. like, well, then we should stop our coaching relationship and you should go after it. And I was really grateful, like, to have a coach basically fire herself and say, I'm going to lose money on this, but this is what you need to do. And so that's what I'm all about, Alana. And I appreciate your allowing me on the show and giving me a voice in this industry, because we really need to change it. And I appreciate what you're doing.
I love it. Well, Travis, we're very grateful for your expertise and your time with us. So thank you for sharing those tips and tools about how we can be more balanced.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
For more episodes of this and other podcasts, visit theamericancollege.edu/podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a rating and review. This has been Next Gen in 10, brought to you by the American College of Financial Services.